Blog Talk Radio.
To be here today. This is your girl, Stacey Johnson, and I am the host of The Focus Factor, where we motivate a movement and empower you to soar. We are still on our topic today of bouncing back to get back up, and I want to introduce my co-host, Tiffany Hunter. She is the founder of the X God Made Next, and I'm going to open up her mic so she can give you a hearty hello. Tiffany, are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon.
Yay. Welcome back. Welcome back. We missed you last week, Tiffany.
I know. I missed it too. I went back
I'm
over, though. Great show.
Thank you. I'm going to leave your mic open so you can mute yourself at will. Let's go over our house rule. This is open floor. That means everyone will get a chance to have their say. We just ask that you respect each other's opinion. We try to provide a safe place for everybody to communicate. We don't get political, no bashing, no judging, no name calling. We don't tear each other down. We're here to build, encourage, empower, and to speak life so you can soar and live your best life. Now, if you want to participate in this conversation, and we welcome all callers. All you have to do is call in at 516-595-8287. That number, again, is 516-595-8287. 8287. If you want to call in with a question or you have a comment or something might really hit you and you really, you know, want to speak your truth about it, we encourage you to call in and be a part of this conversation because it's not just local. This is nationwide, so you just never know who you might be helping. Now, I have a little disclaimer that I'm going to put out there for those that are listening, and it says, this advice given on the show is the methods that we use to bounce back and get back up. Everybody's level of pain is different, so you have to do what works for you and take your time doing it. If you hear something that you feel may help you, then by all means apply it. The main thing is to get back up. And I want to put this out there. I apologize for the technical difficulties last week because when I got finished with the show, I got a lot of texts that people are having technical difficulties logging on. So I am working with the support team to work out those technical issues so we won't have those. And I see my buddy Bob on the line. Welcome, Bob. Welcome, welcome. Good to have you. And he's in the chat. Good to have you in the chat, Bob. So let's do our recap of last week before we get into our message. Last week I talked about letting go in a healthy way. We have been talking about bouncing back and getting back up and what that looks like. And the first thing that we hit or the first level is like the ground level, just acknowledging that this is happening to me. And the second level was, you know, accountability and taking ownership. And we talked about those things and in detail, and that was like two shows. And last week we talked about letting go in a healthy way and what that really looks like. And letting go means that life still goes on, making choices to find your peace in the situation. A lot of times we talked about that there could be a situation that has happened in your life and not necessarily a death of a loved one, but maybe a change in business, maybe a relocation of your home or something. It's finding situation and understanding, you know, that life is going to continue to go on and letting go. And then we talked about making sure there are no regrets and no guilt. And I talked about not being stuck in the coulda, shoulda, woulda syndrome that will take you deeper in your hurt and your pain. And then making a commitment to yourself to respond differently in a positive way. We talked about disciplining yourself in the areas you know that you lack in, which is very important in letting go. We talked about building up confidence. And we talked about guidance, seeking and asking for help, focus, regain your focus on what is really important. A lot of times when we go through things, we tend to lose focus. I know I have been through enough stuff to know that you can lose your focus on what's really important if you focus enough on what you're going through. We talked about letting go from the emotions but still loving. And this is for people that have lost loved ones. A lot of times people don't want to let go because they think they're not loving that person, but you can still love that person and still let them go. So that's a healthy way of letting go. Or even in a relationship that is causing more damage than good, I can love you to let you go, but I can still love you but let you go, if you understand what I'm saying. And knowing all things are working for your good. And then the last one we talked about was moving forward with a fresh vision and a positive attitude. So if you would like to hear that show, by all means, you can go to the website, StacyJohnson.com, and it's on there. Or you can just key into Women of Vision Global Network and listen to last week and get all these shows because we have some great information. So today's topic I wanted to kind of talk about is silencing the whispers of the this is so key, because what gets me is that when you're going through a season or you're – and I want to call it a season because I just don't want to pinpoint one particular thing. I'm just going to say when you're going through a season, you always have those people – that want to give you advice or you know, tell you what you should be doing, or they listen and they kind of throw little things in and they whisper. But if you're not careful, they are actually talking to the hurt and the pain. And sometimes you can end up in a deeper situation listening to those people. So how do we silence the whispers of the enemy? And I want to talk about this a little bit. Those people who mean you well but take the opportunity to speak negative things into your life. Keep in mind, if they are not helping, they are hindering. Now, listen to this part. Unprocessed pain is dangerous and a deadly force. This type of pain can cripple the strongest spirit. But pain itself is not the real culprit. The real enemy is the message within the pain. Our real internal struggle is it's the damaging lies we allow our wounds to whisper in the depths of our heart. That's some good stuff right there. So just think about it for a minute, all the stuff that some people go through, but it's the message that we get within our pain, and that's why some people never recover, the unprocessed pain. So the question I want to put out there is, how do you process your pain? Because I know how I process mine. And listen to this. The damaging whispers we hear in the midst of our pain are never healthy. They are from the enemy. They are not encouraging. They're not to build. They are subtle, and they come to destroy. Pain is usually a place of darkness and confusion. Pain has a way of catching us off guard and unaware. The more we hurt, the more unresolved pain we harbor within our hurt pocket, the more vulnerable we are to the enemy's lies and deceit. Wow. 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 So I'm going to open up Tiffany's mic to talk about a little bit silencing the whispers of the enemy. And Tiffany, my question, and your mic is already open, but my question is, how do you silence the negativity when you're going through? And when I say going through, I think everybody has either sacrificed something or lost something or gained something this year, and you have to be able to block out the negative chatter. If it's not coming from the outside source, then it can come from internal, just with a person's mindset. So Tiffany, how have you been able to silence the whispers of the enemy?
So for me, in that question, it's being able to, you got to really be able to decipher between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And, with deciphering between the two, just understanding, you know, what that normal response would look like if a situation had not happened. And also, too, with who it's coming from and what they're going through as it relates to what you're going through. I think all of that is important. And just to use an example of that, which was many years ago for me, but just even going through a divorce. And, you know, when you go through a divorce, you got the half of people, you got, a portion of people that's rooting you on and, you know, cheering for you and telling you all the good. And then you got a portion of people that's also telling you, well, you know, that negative part, well, they weren't going to do it for you anyway, or you deserve better, or, you know, this and that. And sometimes it can all mean well, but it can be coming from a place of their own hurt. It can be coming from a place of jealousy. And then even for, you know, myself, when we conjure up our own thoughts sometimes in those situations or things that we go through, I have to think for myself, you know, what place am I in and what emotion am I in and feeling for those thoughts to arise and come into place. And then sometimes you have to just shut those thoughts up and tell yourself, like, you know what, shut up, close your lips, and take it to God, really, seriously, for me, and be like, okay, guys, you know, I know this can't be you because your word says, or I know this can't be you because this is not of you, this is not what it says. And so we just got to be able to just decipher between what's being said and how that negative emotion is coming out, whether it's from someone else or whether it's from myself. And then really, like I said, put yourself in a place of knowing, like, okay, you know, because when things is good, you know, it's a different conversation. But then when it turns ugly and when things go bad, then it's like, you know, we start looking at, oh, it's been like this for real, but, you know, I just haven't said nothing. And it's like, has it really been like that? You know, have you really been quiet about the situation for a while and just not saying anything and just accepting and tolerating? Or are you just in your feelings and flesh about something? You know, and just really asking those questions to yourself. And like I said, looking really deep within and deciphering, like, you know, okay, what is this? What emotion am I feeling like feeling right now? And why is it coming out like this? So. Did you get that?
G'day, Stacy. How are you?
Stacy?
G'day, Tiffany. Can you hear me?
Hey, Bob. I can hear you now. For a minute, I was late, too, but I'm not sure what happened with Stacy.
Yeah, I can't hear Stacy either. So, okay, I'll just say what I was going to say, because it will still go on record. This thing about, how can I put it? One of the most powerful bits of work I did was moving beyond codependent behavior. And this little phrase guided me all the way through. And this phrase is, unsolicited advice is abuse. And now I'll explain what I mean by that. Like, when I'm struggling in my life, when I'm being challenged by something, that's the time when I learn the most about me, okay? But it's also when all the advice givers come around and say, oh, I know what you need to do, mate, and I know what... And I just stop them and say, well, you know, thanks for your input. I didn't ask for your advice. I'm here to live my life my way, not your way. If you want to be a true friend, you be around when I put my hand up and ask for help. So that's why it's so powerful for me to realize that unsolicited advice is abuse. It may be well-meaning, but it's coming from somebody that's looking at you in your life and doesn't like the way you're living your life and wants you to live your life their way. So, yeah, it's snaky. It's codependent behavior. And the other thing I do is, in my life, whatever I'm doing, I'll say to myself, is this nurturing for me? And so if it isn't nurturing, I don't do it anymore. And I've come up with this little phrase, whatever is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast, and I no longer feed the beast. Oh, why would you? So now, I'm content with me, and these issues don't really occur anymore, you know? And people say, oh, that's a bit rude, isn't it? I said, well, no, I'm just setting good boundaries, you know? If I need help, I go and see an expert, you know? But the only time I need help is when I've exhausted all of my own inner resources, my own intellect, my own knowing, my own life story, stuff I've learned, you know? If I can't find my answers, I go to an expert. Not some guy on the street that says, well, you need to do this, mate. That's rubbish.
Hey, guys, I'm back. Can you all hear me? I had to log in another way. Am I clear?
Yes, Stacey.
Yes, you are. Hey.
Yeah, I missed everything you said, Tiffany. I don't know what happened, but I'm not going to... dwell on it. My phone just hung up and I could not dial back, so I had to like call in from my computer. But my question for you all is, I understand if it's not healthy, you know, don't listen to it. But we've all been in places, and this can help somebody. We've all been in places where we're hurting. And we all know that when you're hurting or whatever you're going through a season or a trial, not to make life decisions because you're emotional, because emotions can change. How do you, and it's hard to decipher what's good and what's not when you're in that deep place. So how would a person decipher, say you have somebody that's giving advice and, you know, it's not the best advice, but it's connecting with the hurt that you're feeling. How would they distinguish, you know, this is not really good for me, but they're agreeing with what I'm going through, but it's not really the best thing. I think that's the hardest thing, is to decipher when you're in that place of pain, what's good for me and what's not. I heard Bob talk about don't feed the beast, but when you're hurting, all you see is the beast.
Yeah. And, you know, Bob said something that was really good. He was saying, you know, it's also just, you know, knowing who you are. I think once you really, really got to a place of really knowing who you are, that also helps. Some people are still lost at sea with themselves. Some people, you know, feel like they know who they are, but they still struggle with certain things. But for people that I have met that really know who they are, they have it easier being able to distinguish between the two. So I think it's going to all come down to knowing who you really are, you know, having confidence in knowing who you are.
So even though you're going through, when you know yourself, you know your limits. And you
exactly.
Know that, okay, now you feed into my problem and into my pain. That's not the best advice for me.
Yep.
And I also think, you just have to not tell everything. I think sometimes you have to deal with the hurt and pain inwardly in a private place. And find
uh-huh.
that place of peace and understanding, because sometimes everything is just not for everybody, even sometimes the closest of friends, because the closest of friends don't like to see us hurting and in pain, and people don't always use wisdom sometimes, especially, you know, if it's a close friend sometimes. Hold on, we have another caller. Caller, your mic is open.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted. Yes, can you hear me all right? I just wanted to add to what was being said. For me personally, I'm one who uses the buddy system, but I know that if utilized, it will work. But the thing about that is, if everybody in your circle of influence is in the same place that you are, or as a caller said a few weeks back, a bottom feeder. When it comes to people who are, you know, bottom feeders, they can't stand to see someone else doing better than them. So the advice they give, is, as it's been said, is going to be from a place of their understanding, and pretty much you're going to get the same result they got. So before you take advice from someone, take a look at their life and see if they are, you know, truly living the life that their advice that they are giving you is going to, you know, bring you out into a better place. Or if they're just your A-man corner. Now, you have to be truthful with yourself, because sometimes when you're in a situation, all you want is the A-man corner. You want somebody who's going to agree with you, because you have gotten yourself so worked up while you're thinking about this situation, what's been done to you, who did it, and you want somebody to just tell you go, because you're already at ready, set. You're just waiting for the go so you can go do what it is that you've already purposed to do. So if you really don't want to do those things, you're going to go to people who you know will, you know, tell you no, like a trusted family member, you know, a grandparent, a mother, a pastor. You're not going to go to your girlfriend who's going to tell you, girl, let's go burn down his house. Let's go set his clothes on fire. Like they did in the movies, let's do this, but take it to the next level. So I just wanted to add that.
That's good. That's good. because you talked about the bottom feeder that will only give you advice, you know, at a place of their understanding. And you call it, you know, the amen corner, those that will agree with you. But also, you might have some people that have an ulterior motive, too, that are waiting. I hate to put it like this, but sometimes you have those people that envy your success. And when they see you're not as successful as you used to be, they were waiting for you to take a fall. Then they want to come and play the savior, but they have an ulterior motive behind what they're doing. We have another caller. Caller 765, your mic is open. Did you have a question or a comment?
I just wanted to, hi, this is Linnea. I just wanted to, the gentleman that's on the line, he said something so powerful to me. He said unsolicited advice is abuse. He says people looking at your life and wanting you to live your life like theirs. And then he said, if I need help and run out of my own resources, then I will go get professional help. You know, I had an issue when my mother passed because she was such a she really was a mentor to the community. And, you know, my guidance was through her. But mm-hmm. once she passed, I didn't have nobody to turn to. And I was a preacher's kid, so we don't talk to other people. We're trained not to communicate and tell people our business. And I thought it was interesting he said that because I never thought about getting professional help until I had an issue at my job that led to behavioral health care where I was mm-hmm. referred. And it really wasn't nothing that I had done wrong, but I never just thought to get professional help. And I thought that was, you know, interesting.
So let me ask you a question, and this is for all the callers. Why do you think some people shy away from professional help when they find themselves in a dark place?
Well, in my culture, where I come from and raised up, we were taught not to convey in those type of situations because then we're admitting that we're truly crazy or we're mentally retarded, but not knowing that there are different levels of mental issues. And so we just were shunned from talking to the professionals.
Wow, wow. Caller 706, did you have a comment about that? Why some people shy away from getting professional help?
Yeah, in life in general, people tend to shy away from the things that have a stigma attached to them. That's why we don't share if we have a family member who's an alcoholic or a family member who's a drug addict or someone we know who is very dear to us who is out, you know, prostituting themselves. These are things we don't share because of the stigma attached to it. It's different than if we have someone we, you know, care about who got a full scholarship to college or they just got a brand new car or they just got a promotion on their job. When it comes to mental health, there is such a stigma attached to it that so many go undiagnosed. And then if you do talk to someone, if they put you on a medication, the stigma attached to taking the medication is even greater. So therefore, you have people who won't take the medication prescribed to them because of the stigma attached to it. The stigma has become a label that no one wants to carry because it is seen in an unfavorable light. But they fail to realize if, just like any other sickness, if you have, you know, diabetes or cancer and you go see a doctor and they give you something and you get better, all of your, you know, symptoms begin to subside and your situation turns around, so goes with mental health. You get the help you need and you get a better perspective because our life is all about perspective. You then see it more clearly as it truly is and you get the coping skills skills you need, and sometimes you need help with coping, and it does come in the form of a pill for some people, but you make better decisions, and you're more well-rounded instead of being a menace to society.
Tiffany, you have anything you want to say on that one?
Everybody has touched on everything that I would have said, and, you know, it just going back to even just with the old family, don't you put that on yourself, don't you claim that, or, you know, this and that, and then everything that's already been listed and said is exactly, I think, why a lot of people steer away from getting that professional help, and then, you know, just how they will be looked at, you know, the things that that will be said about them. Too many people care about what people have to say about them and how they have to get the help that they need and take care of themselves.
I think nowadays we see more mental health on the rise. You know, depression is real. The pain is real. The hurt is real. And the anxiety is real. And you don't even have to be in a certain particular setting to see it. I was at the grocery store the other morning. I was just getting out the car, you know, like anybody else, and walking to the grocery store. And I hear this lady screaming at this man in the parking lot. And, you know, he just kind of looked over my shoulder, and apparently he was pulling out, and she was walking, and he did not see her, and he stopped all of a sudden. Well, because in her mind, you're trying to hit me. And she just went in on him. Didn't you see me standing there? Well, you mean you didn't see me? And she went on questioning this man about, you didn't see me. Why didn't you see me? Blah, blah, blah. And you could tell that she was just so on edge. And he was so cool in his response. He didn't get out the car. He kept his tone really low. And he was like, no, ma'am, I'm sorry. I didn't see you. I looked in my mirror. Nobody was there. No more looked. I seen you. I hit my brakes. I wasn't trying to hit you. And she was just going in on him. And then when she left, she darted into the store, and you could see the frustration in her face. And you could tell that he just caught the brunt of everything that she had went through that morning. Like, wow, you really need to talk to somebody about this before you explode again on somebody. And that's just one case that I have witnessed that, you know, the pain is real, the hurt is real, the anxiety that people are suffering today because they don't have the social interaction, because of the things that are going on in the world today, because of the school system. I got more parents, you know, that are on edge about what's going on. So, you know, with the people that they can talk to, I think that now we're going to have a flood of more counseling that need to go on, because we need to learn how to cope in the times that we're in. I was talking to a school teacher, and she was in tears because she felt like she was from the dinosaur age, because she was used to the classroom and used to building the curriculum face-to-face. Now they set her in front of a computer, and she didn't know anything about a roster on a computer, and she didn't know anything about the programs that they were going to use, and her anxiety level was so high that me being a friend of hers and having a background in counseling, you know, had to redirect and, you know, use some counseling skills, but to give her some coping skills. And you know, it's like dot the A, the B, the C, give them, you know, the dot their I's and across their T's to calm them down. And I think that's the season that we're in, is now people need to learn how to cope with what they're going through. But then they have the outside sources and they deal with the internal pain, and they listen to the whispers, you know, of the enemy. I like what I think the caller was Lania, that talked about, you know, her culture and how, you know, when her mother died and how she tried to deal with it and dealing with different people, and a situation happened on her job, and then somebody pulled her to the side and said, hey, go see such and such. And I think that's where we are today. Anybody want to respond?
Yeah, I'd like to share something, Alan. Yeah, how can I put it? You probably already know, but I started suffering from depression in 1984 and anxiety, and it was a significant, it was my lifestyle for 20, 25 years, you know, just living with suicidal thoughts until I actually, and you know, the pain of depression is real. It's very, very real. But I suddenly realized that the pain I was feeling was just a natural human response to having to live in such a corrupt society. And also, it was because I wasn't being the real me. That ever since I'd started walking, I'd chopped off little bits of me to fit in with what society had expected of me. So once I came to that realization, I threw my medications away, and I've taken them all. And every medication turned me into a different person, and none of whom I liked. So I just went cold turkey and got rid of my medications, and then went back and healed the wounds of my childhood, because that's where all the damage was done. You know, I lost the belief in myself as a child, and I was abused as a child. So I ingrained the message that the world is a dangerous place, which just translated to anxiety in adulthood. And and experts is an interesting term for me. I don't call psychiatrists or psychologists experts on depression. The only experts for me are the people that have actually worked through it and recovered from it, and are not taking tablets to medicate the pain, or going to a psychologist to learn coping skills to live with the pain. There is a way through, and I've proved it. And I'm not the only one. You know, every day I find other people that have come to the same realization that mental illness, suicide rate on the globe is exponential. But so is the sale of antidepressants. The sale of antidepressants matches the curve of the suicide rate increase. So go figure. You know, these guys want customers, not cures. So I'm just about to launch myself as a life coach specializing in depression recovery. So I've set up a YouTube channel, and I've set up a Facebook page, and they're both called The Gift of Depression. And
wow.
And I love this little phrase. What other people think of me is none of my bloody business, and my life is none of theirs. End of story. So thanks, ladies.
Thank you. Because I think we need a lot of depression recovery coaches to teach people the coping skills, and you know, coming from the background of counseling and different things. And it's not always sometimes about the medication. And I like what Bob said, that he had to get healed from the wounds of his past, of his childhood, to really tap into the real him. And it was the wounds of his childhood that caused the depression and the anxiety in his adulthood. And that's a hard thing sometimes, is, you know, allowing yourself to take a trip back in time, because you have to, in order to be healed, you have to relive that stuff. You have to unveil that stuff. And sometimes somebody has to walk you through that if you're not strong enough to walk through that yourself. Tiffany, you have any response to what Bob has said?
Don't say what you were saying, and that's real good. I love part of him saying, you know, he came to a place of knowing he wasn't, you know, living his true self, and having to go back and, like you said, unveil, face those truth moments in order to go through his healing process and really come out of that. And a lot of people are afraid to do that. They don't want to, have it open that red door. They don't want to face those moments. They don't want to, and some just don't really want to let that go. Some people don't, but they're still living a life to themselves and holding on to that, or living out how other people or whatever has happened. Through and then still living in that because they're comfortable with it. But, you know, being able to appreciate and tell self, okay, let me go back to those moments where it began and face that and then come out. That's the awesome part of it. And I think that will help a lot with the mental state that people go through and the depression and all of that. It's really finding them true selves.
Right. And Bob wrote in the chat, I knew that I could not change my past, but I could go back and heal it. So I did. Caller 706, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
I do. When it comes to people, like you were hearing about the lady in the parking lot and how she just, you know, tore apart the person who was not intentionally trying to cause her any harm. One thing I've learned about people is you don't have to be the source in order to be the target. So all of that was all, you know, pent up and all that was within her, he was not the source because they had never met, but he certainly was the target. So you have to be able to identify, even in our own home, when our spouses come home from work, our children come home from being, and they just seem to not be themselves, and they, you know, blow up, or they get real quiet, they don't do a lot of talking. It's time to have some conversation and ask the right questions, because people real easy go to a place of nobody cares. And when they start to think nobody cares, then things kind of build up. When it comes to counseling and, you know, counselors, choosing the right one, of course, is very important. My philosophy behind counselors and counseling is that every counselor should themselves have a counselor. Because when you sit before people all day and they share with you, it's pretty much like they're, you know, dumping on you all that they go through in their life that has been toxic. And there's no way that, you know, toxicity that comes from all these people you see for 8 hours a day, eight different people, eight different personalities, and all of this is dumped on you. If you don't find a way to release that, then eventually some of that's going to start to affect you as well. So I believe that all counselors need a counselor as well.
Awesome. Caller 765, did you want to comment on anything that's been said?
I agree with everything everybody said. It's funny, though, because all through life, up until in my 30s, I stopped speaking out. I used to speak out against things. Right was right and wrong was wrong. But for some reason, I would trigger people. And when I realized that I was triggering them, then I hushed. I learned to settle down and be quiet. And I learned to identify the source versus the target. That was so greatly put. And so I try to trigger the people that are around me and in my life that I can direct. But when I'm in the public, I try to hush and not say much.
Okay. So you were saying, I think I heard you said that you had stopped speaking out because you were triggering people. What do you mean you were triggering people?
I would say things just general. To me, it was just general information. But the people around me were getting upset because they felt like it was an attack on them. And I wasn't even thinking about them.
Oh, okay. You were hitting something that you were hitting something in their emotions that would cause a rise in them, but you weren't even thinking about them.
Right.
Right, right. Okay, okay. And like the caller said, you said you learned to identify the source instead of the target. What was that like for you, identifying the source? You said instead of the target.
It probably was more of a maturity thing to recognize that I don't have to speak out about everything, that I can, once I understand something or get knowledge, I don't have to present it all the time. I can keep it to myself and not trigger or upset anybody.
That's good. That's good. Caller 706, did you want to respond to the caller about what you said?
Sure. So, yeah, when it the quote I was saying was, you don't have to be the source in order to be the target. So that her life and her, you know, testimony and what she shared is a prime example, meaning that she was not the source, but when she said what she said, it stirred something within people, and she then became the target because it awakened something in them that they thought they had under control, meaning they had suppressed it to the point where they didn't think anyone else could see it. But when she identified it by the criminal conversation that she had with them, it let her know and it let them know that they were not where they said they were pertaining to a particular, you know, situation or a circumstance they had been through. So they needed to go back and, you know, feel some more. So it was almost like she was opening them up and then not, you know, being there to help them. Because once someone has suppressed something to the level where it kind of, you know, closes up, when that thing opens up, it's now probably got pus, infection, and everything else in it because it didn't properly heal with the right ointment.
Do you think that we learn to suppress things naturally as a safeguard, and that's why we sometimes suppress our feelings, sometimes we suppress our emotions, because like the caller said, you know, if I don't speak it now, then, you know, if I do speak it now, it may come out the wrong way, so let me suppress it, you know, so I don't trigger somebody. So you think it's a learned, suppression is a learned behavior?
It is a taught behavior, and then it is learned. Just like we teach our sons to man up, men don't cry. So if you feel like crying and you don't, then you are suppressing. So it is a taught behavior that is well learned, and it's passed down from generation to generation. Sometimes, you know, there are things that we want to say and we want to get out, but we feel if we say them in that moment, it might not come out right. We are to have enough control over ourselves that we should be able to speak what's on our mind. And we do it in truth and in our truth and in love, that it shouldn't come out the wrong way. There is no one, because we live in a country where there's free speech, so we can have free speech when it comes to a cause that everybody is getting behind. But don't tell me I can't have free speech when it comes to my life and my peace of mind.
And so is it free speech that's the problem, or is it the way it's received? Because you said we should be able to say anything the right way, but sometimes you can say something the right way and it be received differently than how you say it.
It is about perception.
It is all about perception,
but it's not for you to be in a place where you caused yourself harm because you're concerned about how somebody else is going to receive it.
Now, how many people you know do that? I mean, they watch what they say, they watch what they do, because you're worried about how somebody else is going to receive it, and then you don't do it, and now you're suppressing what you're feeling, because you are.
Yes.
I mean, I guess it's humans that we do that because we change the way we talk, we change the way we act for somebody else because we don't want to cause any harm, because you never know where people are and how they perceive things that you say or do.
This is true, but then I think, my personal opinion, that doesn't work for me any longer. I have been there, and I understand that. But when I came into a place of self-awareness and self-love, I then realized if I am going to love myself, the point comes when I have to place my needs above the needs of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have a need to express myself. And if you, in fact, the person I'm talking to, you know, loves me and is a friend and in my corner, because I'm not just going to express it to anyone. It's definitely going to be someone I know, not someone I don't know. To get me to the place where I should be able to say this to you. And that's a part of you getting to know me, me getting to know you.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And then I, you know, I'm a professional singer, and what I found out is I have to figure out what tone to speak to certain different people. There's a tone that I have to use with each person that I come or meet.
That's awesome. So you're saying that you have to watch your tone, how you talk, depending on the audience that you have, because it could be perceived a certain way. Because what they may
correct.
Think is anger could be passion.
That's good.
Is that what you're saying? Because some people are passionate about what they do, but it may be perceived as anger or aggression, you know. And here again,
correct.
So do you suppress how you really feel, or do you just change it a little bit? I mean, do you kind of alter it a little bit? You have to be mindful of the audience
mm-hmm.
that you're talking to. And I
right,
think
I have to adjust. Yes.
Yeah, you have to make some adjustments. Make some adjustments. And especially when we're talking about...
I have an example on that.
What do you say, Bob?
Yeah, I've got a beautiful example of how to deal with a situation. For me, expressing feelings in the moment is absolutely essential for me. That I used to be a volcano, you know, so I can identify with that lady in the car park. Because Mum had all the anger, I never knew how to deal with anger. And I always had to be the bright, pleasant, happy, smiling little boy. But I've come up, this is one of my Ten Commandments, if you like, is feelings are healings. And if you swallow them, you will drown in them. Or you just put them in the pressure cooker, and one day the lid will come off, you know, just for the slightest reason. Now, hey, Stacey, let's role play here for a minute. I love you dearly, darling, but could you please stop squeezing the toothpaste from the middle of the tube? It really pisses me off. So I've expressed to you my feeling in a loving way, and I've asked you to do something. Whether you do it or not does not matter. What matters is I've expressed my truth. I've expressed my feeling in the moment. It's gone. It's, you know, it's disappeared. Now, you can take that information from me because you love me too and say, well, do I really want to roll the toothpaste up from the bottom or not? No, I'm going to keep squeezing the toothpaste in the middle. And the win-win sits solution for both of us is we both have our own tube of toothpaste. So, but the message I want to get across is it is vital to express your feelings in the moment. Don't swallow them because they just add to the load of emotional baggage that you've been carrying all your life. So, yeah, empty the pressure cooker. Don't let any stuff get in the pressure cooker. And thanks so much, ladies, for taking your call. I really love this show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is just so much good information. We got about 4 minutes left. I want to ask Tiffany if she has anything that she wants to add. And like I said, we got about 4 minutes left before we close. But I really believe this topic is helping someone, even though it took a slight shift. It's always good because it always lines up together with silencing the whispers of the enemy. And sometimes that enemy is internal. It's not always external. Tiffany, we got about 4 minutes. You got anything you want to share?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. And I think it was really good, everything everybody was saying about the those that go through the suppressed feelings and happen to, I like what came out about, do we really have to suppress those, suppress what we're saying, or is there a way to where we can adjust and change how we're saying it? Because just as the caller had said, you cannot talk to everybody the same way. You know, you have to use a different tone, a different, you know, you have to come at everybody differently. It's based on how people are. And one of the things I wanted to point out, which was a great example that Bob had used, is, you know, everything was, you know, and then this is just with me. You know, I look at keywords, everything that was said was good up until the point of it pisses me off. And then it's like, well, what's another word we can use for it pisses me off? Because that's how, you know, that's just how, and it's just like you said, to just take it for what it is, or, you know, you cannot. But I've expressed how I felt, but it's how, you know, how we express ourselves to the person that we are speaking to and the way that they are going to respond. And that's also that respond and react type of situation. But I think, you know, everything that was said was amazing. Very good topic today. I've enjoyed it all.
Well, I want to just thank everybody for tuning in today, and I want to thank all the callers, and I want to thank our co-host. I want to thank Bob for just tuning in and just really sharing your heart today, because I do believe that it is helping someone else. They may not always call in, but they are truly, truly listening, whether in this city or another city. There is somebody out there that is struggling with their emotions, that is listening to the inner thoughts of the enemy, that is somebody that is struggling with anxiety. And my hope and my prayer is they have received the necessary information to get the coping skills that they need to speak their truth and be in touch with their emotions so they can live their best life. So I thank you all for tuning in to the Focus Factor. I am Stacy Johnson, and I look forward to next week's show. I look forward to another topic, and I look forward to helping everybody live their best life. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you all next week.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.